This is part one of a four-part series. Quote, "All I saw before me were acres of skin. It was like a farmer seeing a fertile field for the first time." End quote. Albert Kligman entered Holmesburg Prison in 1951 as a dermatologist to investigate an outbreak of athlete's foot. After realizing that he had access to, quote, "an anthropoid colony, mainly healthy, under perfect control conditions," end quote, he began a 20-year series of experiments on the inmates at Holmesburg Prison with toothpaste, deodorant, shampoo, creams, detergents, liquid diets, eye drops, foot powders, and hair dye, the results of which were biopsied and examined to the pain of the inmates. The inmates were paid well for their participation in his trials, relative to prison wages, although after Kligman invented Retin-A as a result of his experiments on the Holmesburg prison population, he was paid much better. Kligman recalled that he used to go to the prison regularly to conduct experiments without any authorization or explanation to prison authorities or inmates. Quote, "Things were simpler then. Informed consent was unheard of. No one asked me what I was doing. It was a wonderful time." End quote. The range of tests that were conducted on thousands of prisoners at Holmesburg was vast. An inmate describes one of the tests that scarred his back as having paid $35. Quote, "A king's ransom for an inmate trying to raise bail money." End quote. Roy Williams tested a new shampoo product. Quote, "I didn't really have a dandruff problem, but I did after that test. The lotion removed my hair and anything else I had on my head." End quote. The researcher who had administered the shampoo, Sigmund Weitzman, later found out that he might have been administering a carcinogen to inmates, dioxin, and he was surprised to discover that Kligman regularly performed such experiments, quote, "without informing the volunteers and staff members," end quote. The patch test was very popular, where different lotions were placed in a grid on an inmate's back, then exposed to a sun lamp for 15 to 30 minutes before being taped over. The test would last for a month, and once a day the prisoner would receive the sun lamp treatment. Withers Pond remembers that, quote, "that first test nearly killed me, it was so painful. I had a patch put on my back that covered a large area. It was a 10-day test, and I wasn't allowed to take a shower," end quote. He received $10 for that test. Withers Pond also underwent a gauze test. Pond was laid on a table, and without anesthetic, two doctors cut 2 1-inch incisions into his lower back, inserted gauze pads into the wounds, and then stitched him up. 10 days later, doctors reopened one wound to remove the gauze pad and stitch him back up again. 10 days after that, the other gauze pad was removed in a similar fashion. Pond never had any idea what the test was for, but he knows he got $20 and some pretty distinctive scars. Officers talked about the scars the inmates received. Quote, "guys sold themselves for a few bucks. Guys looked like zebras when the patches came off. Some of those patches took the skin clear off." End quote. Once Kligman began conducting his experiments, the University of Pennsylvania, where he was employed, and a number of other universities and private companies followed suit. They suddenly had a fast way to human test their products that nobody would object to, and often that nobody even knew about. Al Zabala received between $40 and $50 a month to test out different skin applications. When he asked what a specific lotion was made from or who had produced it, he was told, "we don't know," or, "we can't tell you." The prisoners who received payments for these tests were also required to sign releases and waivers, discouraging them from suing for the pain and scars they received as a result of their studies. Still, according to Zabala, quote, "the money was good, and the money was easy," end quote. When he heard that he could make over $1,000 in just one test, Zabala volunteered for something beyond the topical substances he had become comfortable testing. The six volunteers were told they'd be given, quote, experimental stuff, end quote, and asked to sign a waiver against any damage claims for $300. All six signed up. Zabala was given some sort of psychoactive injection that had him tripping for 7 days in a padded room under constant surveillance and audio-video recording. Zabala says that he found it difficult to swallow food after the test, and that some other test subjects didn't even remember their names. Some of them beat themselves up and punched themselves in the head. In some of the worst trips, quote, one guy said he was hung and killed, end quote. Zabala was happy with the money, but broke out in rashes for the next few years, and had a 3-day flashback where he locked himself in a bedroom and couldn't remember anything when he came out. Another inmate remembers sharing a drink with Zabala at a bar during an escape the inmate had attempted, and Zabala, at that point years after being released from Holmesburg, had acted strangely and then fainted. Another experiment that did not go off without a hitch was the fingernail test. $50 were offered to any prisoners for each fingernail the doctors were allowed to remove. Some prisoners agreed, and with the rest of the group watching the first volunteer, a doctor numbed his first finger with Novocaine and placed his hand in a vise, then grabbed a large set of pliers. There was a rapid evacuation and panic at the crude methodology, and they all refused to undergo the experiment. For a moment. Once the offered compensation was raised to $150 a fingernail, the experiment continued as planned. William McCafferty, a prisoner cum 24-hour prison medic, remembers one experiment where six prisoners were given an injection that immediately incapacitated or knocked unconscious all six. It turns out that the concoction dramatically reduced blood pressure. Many prisoners took care of the everyday running of the prison and could surreptitiously read more about the experiments being conducted that the test subjects were given so little information about. According to Matthew Epps, quote, inmates were advised some tests were dangerous, end quote. J. Bios, an inmate with an academic background, knew that many prisoners were becoming wary of the experiments, which were paying out less and becoming more dangerous as more prisoners, companies, universities, and government agencies began participating in the human trials at Holmesburg. So a medical technician suggested that Bios wear fake pieces of tape and gauze to make it look like he was in the experiments too, even though he wanted no part of them. Bios agreed and wore, quote, dummy strips to deceive the inmates and convince them the tests were okay, end quote. Johnny Williams underwent tests where the researchers burned Johnny using what he described as a microwave light. Exposure to sulfuric and carbolic acid, put his arms in solutions for 1 hour every day for a month until his skin was like leather, and had acid rubbed on his testicles while a tin cup was placed underneath to catch the blistered skin, for which Johnny was paid $3. Skin hardening was an interest of the U.S. Army, contracted by the CIA. To develop a soldier whose skin would be like armor without needing some other heavier and more cumbersome artificial armor. Many prisoners had experimental and untested chemicals painted on their forehead, since the face was prone to inflammation and the effects would be easier to see, or, like Johnny, had their arms dipped in various chemical solutions for 1 to 4 hours a day for months. The prisoners were told that the immersion tests were relatively harmless soap studies, and none of them were aware of the connection to the U.S. Army or the CIA. Johnny needed the money, though, and kept on trucking. His armpit glands were cut, and then he was placed in an overheated room to see how he sweated with injured glands. He was given sutures indefinitely, so the testers could see if the sutures ever dissolved, and was injected with solutions that became hard like plastic under his skin, at which point the pieces were removed bit by bit. He participated in several patch tests for the Hong Kong flu, poison ivy, and poison oak. Williams claims to have participated in 10 or 12 tests at once, and has various scars on his abdomen from the numerous biopsies taken. Even though Williams successfully raised enough money to pay his bail, he is angry now at what happened. Quote, "We were never told what was going on. We never had witnesses or a receipt for anything signed." End quote. Johnny knew that the experiments conducted in the army trailers were where, quote, "they messed with your mind," end quote, and he stayed away from those types of experiments for a while. Then the idea of the increased payday took hold, and after going through a lengthy screening process, Johnny was injected with a solution. He immediately couldn't control himself at all and had hallucinations for weeks. He could see visible music notes coming out of a camera in his trailer and thought he was holding cards when his hands were empty. He got so angry he actually ripped the cell door off the walls of the trailer and demanded an antidote to whatever they had injected him with. He was kept isolated in another cell for 2 weeks before being released to the general prison population, and was made to wear a badge that said, quote, "Please excuse this inmate's behavior. He can't think or act in a coherent manner, and is part of the U.S. Army testing program," end quote.